Let us come and hear the word of God. We're reading from John chapter 14, 1 to 12, 1 to 14, and we should know this one pretty well by now, after the 4 weeks. Okay. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may also be. And you know the way where I am going. But Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these he will do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Amen. And may the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word.
Well, keep that passage open in front of you. We've looked at the majority of those verses over the last 2 weeks. Today, we'll be focusing on those last few verses. Did you know that there's a difference between simply living? There's a difference between simply living and having life. There is a difference between simply living and having life. See, living is something that we do. It's reactionary. It's necessary. But it alone is empty. Having life is something that becomes us. Expected. Someone gives you the prime suite in a prestigious hospital, the hospital with the leading doctors in the field of your illness. Complete entry. But then they arrange for those doctors to focus all their attention on you. All their attention on your situation, with all the care and medical support you can't even imagine, right there, full access. But then what comes next is a cure. That person then hands you the cure to your illness. See, the first two were incredible gifts, weren't they? They're more than you can ask for. A prime suite in a prestigious leading hospital where they know what you're going through. Access to the greatest doctors with all their care and attention, but those are incredible gifts. But the last one, that cure, revolutionary. That last gift of a cure completely transforms your whole existence. You now have life. See, Jesus came from heaven not just so that we could find complete entry to God, the way to God. Not just so that we had full access to God, given the very truth and the understanding of God, but that in being shown the way and given the truth, that we would come into relationship with him and we would know new life. that we would know the cure for our sin and death, that we'd be given life. John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. This is Jesus, I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. Let's pray as we look at this passage today. Lord God, as we come before you this morning, Heavenly Father, we pray that your word would be clear before us. Lord, by your Spirit, Jesus has given us in our passage today, where Jesus told his disciples that he's the way and he's the truth and he's the life, that no one comes to the Father except through him, that Jesus is the way to the Father. He is the truth of the Father. And we looked at those the last 2 weeks, where today we're seeing what Jesus means when he talks about being the life, that he's the life the Father gives and offers, which is found through faith in Jesus, that Jesus is the way you come, the truth you need, and the life that you can't live without. Jesus is the life. That's our focus this morning, where our first point today is looking at that opening statement. There's a difference between simply living. There's a difference between simply living and having life. See, just because we're living, it doesn't mean we have life. So many will look at the fact that they're going through the motions of working, of eating, sleeping, laughing, entertaining, playing sport, enjoying holidays and hobbies, buying, building, collecting. Add a bunch of other verbs to that sentence. They see simply living as a sign that they have life. But we need to grasp that living is simply something we do. It's reactionary. It's a response to stimuli. It's essential and it's eternal. Life isn't found in what we're doing. It's found in who we are. Simply living and going through the motions of living, it's reactionary. But having life is its own force. It's what dictates how we express ourselves and how we live. Life isn't something that we can add into our weekly schedule or slot into our weekends off. Life is what fuels our very existence. And this life, this incredible transforming life is what Jesus is talking about, that he is and that he brings. No longer who we were, but something new, something exciting. We're coming into a life-giving relationship with God through faith in Jesus. Isn't simply something that we now do as a part of our weekly schedule. We now just come to church and we read the Bible more. We're kind of who we were before, but now we just do Christian stuff. That's not it. God offers us a new state of being. We start again. A new state of being, a new existence, a new identity, a new reason, a new purpose, a new mentality behind who we are. One that's no longer what we were, but one gloriously transformed for all eternity. When we become a believer, we stop. We start again. We are new creations, no longer who we were. And we'll get to that powerful verse in just a moment. Each person, the Bible tells us, is handmade, uniquely, individually designed and stitched together by the same Creator that personally gave every planet its orbit, that personally gave every star its light, that gave every heavenly body a name, that knows how many grains of sand are on every beach. Incredible. That's the same God that stitched us together uniquely, designed for relationship with him, the giver of life, the one who is life itself. But the curse that has tarred and tainted creation since the fall, that curse of sin, of man's rejection of God, has meant that although created for life and relationship with God, we're born into a state of distortion, fractured. We're not born into relationship with our Creator, but we're born out of one. We're broken. We're corrupted. Our world is broken. Our world is corrupted. We lay on hospital beds. We lay in graves. Although created for life, our sin has us living out a slow death. Our sin, as in our rejection of God, brings death because it brings God's judgment. But us being in a state of sin also brings death as it separates us from God. A separation that means we're simply living, but we don't have life. Separated from the source of real life, emptiness, death is what we know. Humanity goes through the motions, but we don't have life. But Jesus came. God himself came. Although he existed on the other side of a void that we can't mend, separated by his holiness and our sin, Jesus bridges that void with us, where he takes our sin and he makes us holy. Although God was on the other side of a shattered and broken relationship that we can't reconcile, Jesus reconciles our relationship with God. He reconciles that for us by bringing us forgiveness and unifying us to God. Jesus forges a way for us to God that we actuate, that we receive through our faith in him doing this for us. And this is the way that leads to life. Jesus redeems, Jesus saves, Jesus heals. In Jesus, we're reborn. We're reborn from simply living to know real, spirit-filled, abundant new life in relationship with God. And when Jesus told the Samaritan woman that he was the Savior of the world, and we saw that last week, he spoke of this difference between simply living and having life. And Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is speaking to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and we would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get this living water?" So the woman is simply living. That's her mindset. She thinks Jesus is talking about the water in the well, but he's talking about a very different water. He's not talking about just living life, but having life. He's talking about having life. Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Again, Jesus said this to a crowd of people. "Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. We are to know life, not simply live. We are to know life that is only found in Jesus as the way to the truth of God, because this life is from God. A life described here is one that isn't simply living, but one where our heart, our very being is transformed. A spiritual transformation by the grace of God through faith in Jesus. Well, the reason Jesus can make this claim that life is found in him is threefold. Firstly, most essentially, because he's God. Because he's God. And all life is found in the creator of life. Number two, because he gave life for us. He gives life to us. Jesus died on the cross to pay the debt, to pay down what we owed spiritually for our sin. The cost it took to remove us from our bondage to sin, which had us facing death, Jesus paid that. He paid that. But then Jesus rose from the grave. He rose from the dead. He won a victory not just over our sin, but over the death that our sin brings. And so through faith in him, we too can receive life. And number three, because it was through Jesus that we were created. Because it was through Jesus that we were created, it's through Jesus that we're to be reborn, recreated. John 1:3 tells us that all things were made through Jesus, and without him was nothing that was not anything made that was made. In him was life. So if we were created through Jesus, God the Father created through God the Son, but have been corrupted by sin, by our rejection of God, if Jesus has dealt with that sin, we're to be reborn through Jesus, not towards death as we were, but towards life as was intended. And we do that by faith in Jesus. So there's a difference between simply living and having life. And that difference is a question of whether we've come to Jesus. Outside of Jesus, separated from God, we're simply going through the motions. But in Jesus, we're given life, reborn to life. We're taken from simply living to becoming new creations, born again into new life in relationship with God. A new life, a new eternal, assured relationship with God that Jesus called his disciples and his all believers to anchor to in our passage today, verse 1 to 11. And we won't unpack it. We've looked at it the last 2 weeks. This is new life. He's calling them to anchor themselves to. Trust in me. I am the way to the Father. Trust in me. Trust in me. That believers are to look to God for life, to seek Jesus for oneness and unity with God. Don't go finding it on Google. It's in Jesus. It's in Jesus. And that relationship with God is to define our steps. It's to determine our steps. It's to be what is expressed in the life that we live. So what does this mean that there's a difference between simply living and having life? Well, it straight away begs the question of which one is us. Are we simply living, or do we have this life that we're talking about? Now, because the difference here is a matter of whether we've come to Jesus, maybe the question is, are we someone who sees Jesus as an optional extra? Maybe he's a bit irrelevant. He was in fashion 2,000 odd years ago, but we don't really need him. Is he a bit irrelevant? Or do we see Jesus as essential? He is the foundation our identity is grounded in. Because if it's the first, then maybe for us, we're stuck simply living and going through the motions, where I pray that you'll see that real life that is on offer for you through Jesus. If it's the second, then you have found life. You've struck gold, like eternal gold. You have found life. Knowing Jesus, you have life. We're to live it. Now the call is to press into that, to press into faithfulness to Jesus, to press into relationship with God. If you know Jesus as Lord and Savior, press into living attuned to the Holy Spirit. You have life. We need to live it. There's a difference between simply living and having life. And that life comes through Jesus. Where our second point this morning is that this life in Jesus brings transformation. Have a look at verse 12 of our passage today. If you've got the passage open in front of you. Verse 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these he will do, because I'm going to the Father. Having declared to his disciples in verse 1 to 11 that he's the way, he's the truth, he's the life, and explained to them about what being the way and the truth means, Jesus now in verse 12 to 14 speaks about this new life, what this life means that he gives. And from unpacking the other verses the last few weeks, we know that the life Jesus brings means relationship with God. It means unity with God for eternity. It means forgiveness. It means salvation. It means assurance. But here Jesus alludes to the transformation that occurs in that gift of life. So when we come into relationship with God through believing by faith in Jesus, this new life that we're given, in which we're born again by the Holy Spirit, is one where we're no longer who we were. If somebody can't see the difference between who you were before you knew Jesus and who you are now in Jesus, something's not quite right. It's no longer who you were. So here Jesus lays this reality before his disciples. You'll do what I'm doing. As in, we'll be given the mantle from Jesus. We'll be the ones to be ambassadors of God to our world. We won't take Jesus' place. The world doesn't need more of us. The world needs more of Jesus. We won't take Jesus' place, but we will be ambassadors of God to our world. Paul, a follower of Jesus, said it like this, 2 Corinthians 5. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We would be ambassadors. Our life would be transformed. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, when we come to faith in Jesus, when we become united to him by the Holy Spirit, born again, we ourselves then embody these same trademarks of Jesus. That just as Jesus is the way to God, God works through us, through our life, our testimony about our faith in Jesus to point people to him. We don't become the way to God. As I said, we don't take Jesus' place. We don't become the way to God, but he works through us to bring people to himself. Just as Jesus is the truth of God, our actions, our attitudes become transformed as demonstrations of God's truth and holiness to those around us. We become a testimony. Our lives become a testimony to God's truth and holiness to those around us. But just as Jesus is the life that's found in God, our lives are to stand as a witness, because it is no longer we who live, but Christ who lives in us. It's no longer we who live. Our life becomes a witness of Jesus to our world. As believers, life in Jesus becomes about brings about a transformation that means we are no longer the same. And we should welcome that. That the life we live is to be revolutionized. Where we now live in right relationship with God, to walk in step with him, to seek after him for purpose and for meaning and understanding and abundance and belonging, where everything about us is to bear testimony to him, just as it was for Jesus. We're to be the ones who, in the name of Jesus, seek to bring light and hope to our dark world. We're to seek to do what Jesus did, speak for God, share of salvation in him, bring healing, bring peace, bring comfort, to challenge those who need to know God and to encourage those who do. And what's incredible about this verse, what's incredible about it, which is sadly misunderstood, and it can really leave us wondering, is that Jesus encourages us in this massive task ahead by saying that he's laid the foundation for us. Greater works than these he will do. Which many take Jesus to mean that we'll somehow do better. We'll do some more amazing works than Jesus, more amazing wonders than Jesus. And I don't know about you, but that freaks me out. How can I do better works than Jesus? I'm not Jesus. And that can leave us wondering. But what he means is so much more encouraging. Not greater as in better, but greater as in more. As in works done after him. Think quantity, not quality. Because Jesus was going to the Father, which he mentions here, the baton of declaring salvation to our world is passed on to believers, where we will be building on the foundation that Jesus has already set. I've already paved the way so that you can do so much more in my name. You can do so much more. We'll be building on the foundation Jesus has already set. We won't just be declaring salvation in the Middle East, but worldwide. He gives that to his disciples in Acts. Spread the gospel to the ends of the earth. Jesus had conquered sin, defeated death. Satan is running scared. So we will be planting in ground that's already plowed. We'll be harvesting fields already ripe. We're called to do works in Jesus' name in places Jesus didn't go, but we will be continuing a work he already began for us. A work God is sovereignly doing through the transformed lives of believers everywhere. What an amazing privilege. What a great call. A transformed life that comes from a transformed us. God transforming us from death to life. 2 Corinthians 3. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. It's an incredible transformation within by the Holy Spirit that God showed that he had the power to do. He showed this to Ezekiel in the Old Testament. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered him, O Lord, you know. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied, and as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. This was God's promise of life, of a transformed life by the Holy Spirit, a promise to Israel that was fulfilled in Jesus, but a promise not just for Israel, but for all people who believe in Jesus. Life, dry bones made alive. So what does this mean, that the life we have in Jesus is a transformed one? It's a transformative one. Well, it means that our salvation isn't a Sunday visit to church, a Christmas visit to church, or a Sunday visit to church, once a week thing. That's not what our salvation is. Our salvation is not a Christmas visit to church. I'll get there when I get there. It's a journey of transformation. The coming to Jesus is to surrender into a relationship with God that has implications for how we live now, not just for the life we have to come. That has implications for how we live now, not just for the life we have to come. It's not a ticket that we hold on to. It's not some sort of insurance policy that we file in the drawer to say, right, I've got my salvation sorted, got my eternity sorted, I'm just going to get on with life. And then when I see scary stuff happening, I'll just run and grab the insurance policy out of the drawer and I'll hang on to it because I've got my salvation sorted. It has implications. We are a new creation. We are no longer who we were. Faith in Jesus is to be joyfully embraced in all of life, where we not only welcome, but we go looking and expecting and desiring more of God. We want more of God and for him to change more of us. We want to go from degree to degree to degree of transformation. We long for that. We want that. Remember, having life is proactive. It's not reactive. Which takes us to our last point, and we'll finish here. The life in Jesus is to be lived for Jesus. Remember, the first aspect to all these verses that we've been looking at from John 14, and we talked about this right at the very beginning 2 weeks ago. Remember, the first aspect we saw that was so vital, so essential for us to grasp, is that Jesus is these things. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The way, the truth, and the life isn't something that somebody has, and so anybody might be able to have it, and you just have to find the right vendor to get it from. Or that maybe Jesus isn't the only one who's got the way, the truth, or maybe somebody else has the way, the truth, and life. He is the way, the truth, and life. He doesn't have it. He is it. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Through Jesus, himself is the way to God. Jesus himself is the truth, the reality, the existence of God. Jesus himself is to be our life in relationship with God. He doesn't just offer them, he embodies them. And that's why Jesus himself is the only way. As both 100% God and 100% man, Jesus is the mediator. He is the conduit. Both the sacrifice and the sacrificer, both the ransom and the redeemer. There aren't multiple ways to God, just Jesus, because Jesus is God. And so the life God gives, the only life that exists, is in God, and that is found through Jesus. And so for us to receive this life, the simple call is to come to Jesus. Life is found in him. God is in the business of saving. He's working by the Holy Spirit on people's hearts, bringing them to salvation. Surrender to him. Trust Jesus. Ask forgiveness for your sin. God's unconditional grace is freely given. Come to Jesus, where through repenting and believing in him, we're born again, united to Jesus, found as one with the fullness of God, because that's where life is found. We're in that surrender, in that transformation. The old is gone. The new has come. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. When we ask Jesus to take our sin, our shame, our guilt, guess what? The old, sinful, shameful, guilty one is taken too. The old is gone. Where it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. We're made righteous. We're made holy. And so the life that I now live in the flesh, now being made righteous and holy, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. That is how I live. Our life, our faith, our trust in Jesus, our faithfulness to God, they are inseparable. He who loved me and gave himself for me. And we live in step with Jesus, not because we owe him, because he is the source of our life. He is the creator, the giver, the sustainer of this life. Remember, life isn't about doing, it's about who you are. And real life, the only life that exists, is found in being in relationship with our creator. A beautiful, united relationship that Jesus alludes to at the last verse of our passage, verse 13 and 14. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Now, Jesus isn't saying here that if we're living life in him, living by faith in him, living in right relationship with God, then we can go crazy and ask for all the stuff that we've ever wanted. It's just like Christmas Day. Like, let's just go nuts. It's all ours. Money, cars, houses, jobs. Let's blow the bank. Whatever you want. No. That's not what Jesus is saying here. No, that's not. Because is that what Jesus came to bring? Did God come to earth as a man to get me a new home? No, that's not what Jesus came to bring. Is God giving me a new jet ski? Is Jesus giving me a new jet ski, what glorifies the Father? No, don't try and think it. Don't try. Like, hang on a sec. Well, maybe if I use it for ministry, then maybe I can. No, it's not. It's not. It'd be nice. That's not what Jesus is talking about here. How can these things be given in Jesus' name then? How can they be what? How can he glorify his Father in those things? No, Jesus is talking about us grasping how incredible this new life that we have in him is. About embracing this new life that we have that's one with God. A life that no longer thinks like we did before. You are now one with the God that created existence. Ask, what would you like to know? What would you like? Imagine that moment from the beginning that you've just been given the cure. You've just been handed the vial. What's the next thing that you'll do? Where will you go? What would you ask for next? You're walking out of the hospital, completely cured. You've been given this gift of life that has transformed you. Would you go back to what you did before? Would you see things differently? You would have a new understanding to life. What would you ask for? What would you do? That's what Jesus is talking about. You haven't been given a cure. You've been given eternal life and personal relationship with God. Where this priceless gift of eternal life that you've been given must transform how you see and understand and how you live. Yep, sure, there's a pandemic in the world. We have a sovereign God, he's in control. Let's trust in him. And let's use this as an opportunity. People are scared, people are unsure, people are uncertain. Let's use, like we talked about last week, let's use that plowed, uncertain ground to sow the gospel into. Let's sow in trust in God. What do we do now that we've been given this life? It must transform how we see and understand and live. Full entry to heaven, complete access to God, incredible life now and eternally. So what will you do with that? What will you ask of God, knowing that you are walking in personal relationship with him? How will you live? See, there's a difference between, and not just a difference of opinion or preference, there's a life and death difference between simply living and having life, real life, eternal life, that's only found through Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Let's pray. Lord God, may this sit heavy upon us. This new life that is found in you, Lord Jesus, we are born again by the Holy Spirit into eternal right relationship with you, Lord God. Father, may this truth sit heavy upon us this morning. As we pray at the beginning, that for those who are trusting you, Jesus, that this weight would be a comfort blanket, encouraging us into this week to live for you. For those of you, for those of us here who don't know you, who are searching for you, may this weight be a challenging weight, a convicting weight, a weight that doesn't go away. As your spirit is at work in hearts and minds, pray, Lord, for faith, that many would trust you, Lord Jesus, unto eternal life. We thank you, Lord God, for these last 3 weeks. To see you, Lord Jesus, as the way, the truth, and the life. We pray, Lord, that our understanding of this and our encouragement of this does not end here, but we would continually be challenged and inspired by you to live the life you've called us and saved us to live. And we thank you in your name, Lord Jesus. We pray. Amen.